The question was asked about how proper is it to listen to songs composed by non-Jewish people, and does it make a difference if the person is technically Jewish and he composes a song. So let's begin with the Shulchan Aruch, and after we read the Shulchan Aruch, let's work our way back to Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos, Rambam in his explanation on the Mishnah. So the Halacha is discussing who is fit to be a chazan. Who can stand and represent the crowd when it comes time to praying before our Creator? And we're holding the Shulchan Aruch Siman Nun Gimel Sif Dalit. Shaliach Tzibur, one who is going to be a messenger for the congregation, he's going to lead in prayer. Tzarich Sheyeh Hagun. Firstly, he has to be honest. Ve'ezagun, what does it mean, a fit, honest person? What's a fit person? Hagun means someone who's fit for being our representative. He has to be Shehe Rikan Me'averot. No sins. Okay, disqualify everyone. Okay. So we'll have to define that a little bit better. V'shelo yitza alav shem ra afilu b'yalduto. And that he never had a bad name, even when he was a youngster. People never spoke badly about him. V'sheyeh anav, he should be humble. Umrutzeh la'am, and the people like him. V'yesh lo ni'ma v'kol arev, and he has a pleasant voice. He knows how to hold a tune. V'ragil likot Torah v'im uchtuvim, and he frequents learning Tanakh. He's a person who's learning Tanakh. If you can't find someone who has all of these traits, then we should choose one who's best among the congregation when it comes to wisdom and good actions. And if we have an amar, it's a person who doesn't know much. He does his work, he pays his taxes, but he's not learned. Yet he has a good voice and everyone wants him. And you have a 13-year-old who understands what he's saying, then kolonaim, but he doesn't have a nice voice. Hakatan ukodem, the young one goes first, because he understands what he's saying. What do I care if the chazan knows how to sing the prayer beautifully? If he doesn't understand it, then he's our second choice, as opposed to this young kid who does know what he's saying. Mi sha'avar avira b'shoge, kigon shara ganef b'shigaga v'chazar b'tshuva. If a person sinned by a mistake, for example, he killed someone by mistake, he had a car accident, he wasn't careful enough, but he didn't mean to kill anyone. Nonetheless, if he did tshuva, notice even for a mistake, if he wasn't as careful as he should have been, he needs to do tshuva, then he could be a shaliach tzibur. But if he did it on purpose, so then he cannot be a shaliach tzibur, because we say he has a bad name, people spoke badly about him. Okay, and then there are other laws about it, about who could be a shaliach tzibur. Now, so that's why some people who are in mourning are not Shaliach Tzibur, because they say that I'm not fit to be a Shaliach Tzibur. Just because a person lost a relative doesn't mean he's fit to be a Shaliach Tzibur. Now, the Shulchan Aruch wrote a summary, a brief summary of who can be a Shaliach Tzibur. The commentaries add other things that the Gemara says. And one of the things is he should have clothing that his feet cannot be seen. Meaning, if a person wears shorts, he shouldn't be a shaliach tzibur. Should be someone who's in shul on time, not someone who walks in late. Should be someone who isn't a fool, that if people talk to him, they feel like they're talking to someone intelligent. Ideally, we should have someone who's a tzaddik, the son of a tzaddik. Ideally, we should have someone who comes from a good family. And then...
When you wake up and you finally find
something. Where is it? There's one more thing which is brought, which I'm not finding now. Another thing that's brought in the Magen Avraham here, for some reason I'm not seeing it now, is that he should be someone who is not singing non-Jewish songs. Shirei Agavim. The question is, what's Shirei Agavim? But right now, I'm not finding where it's even quoted. Just a second. I'm not finding it. It's Brun the Magen Avraham here, but we don't have a Shulchan Aruch here. And the question is, what's Shirei Agavim? So some, we could say that Shirei Agavim is specifically, let's say, love songs, or songs that are sung in church, but that's one thing we would have to tackle. Like, what does it mean, Shirei Agavim? When it says in Halacha that a person who sings that is not fit to represent the congregation, he's not fit to be a Shaliach Tzibur. The Rambam writes, we'll see that in a second, I just want to see if I can find it here. Not finding it. The Rambam writes in Pirkei Avos. Says like this. The Rambam's discussing different speech. What's better speech? What's worse speech? So the Rambam breaks it down to different forms of speech. It says certain things the Torah prohibits. We're not allowed to speak badly about someone. Certain things the Torah encourages. It's a mitzvah to learn Divrei Torah. And then there's speech, which is neither here nor there. You have to talk about a business transaction. It's not a mitzvah. It's not this. It's not that. And then the Rambam says like this. Vida, I want you to know, ki ashirim amchubarim bezo sefash tiyeh inam nivchanim el alfin yanim. We don't judge a song with any criterion other than what is its content. Ve'yesh linhog b'hem b'derech ha'dibur shekva chilaknu. And we treat songs like any other forms of speech the way we've explained. Ve'utzachti lever et ze, meaning if the song speaks foul language, then just like one isn't supposed to speak foul language, one isn't supposed to say such a song. If the song is something that urges a person to do things that are negative, or speaks about feelings, or speaks about situations which will arouse a person to improper thoughts, then that's not a positive song. V'utzachti lever et ze, and I have to explain this as the Rambam, v'ava bishu pashut, even though it would seem simple, nishariti gdolim mechasidim mumatenu, because I've seen some great people in our nation, they're considered the pious ones, im nizdamnu b'msimat mishtev, they come to a party, or chatuna, or a wedding, or zulata, or anything other than that, and someone wants to sing in Arabic. Someone wants to get up and sing a song, but he's going to sing in Arabic, says the Rambam. And even if it was a song praising being brave or praising being serious, that the Rambam says, that's a good song. The Rambam didn't discuss who composed the song. The Rambam says, what is the song saying? Is it stressing a positive message? Then that's good. Or let's say the song is praising wine. Then these people get up and they protest. They say, no, you can't sing at a wedding a song that you're singing in Arabic. Arabic, well, the Rambam says, what do you mean? You can't differentiate between a song that discusses how everyone should be drinking wine to a song that discusses how people should be brave. These people don't let anyone hear the song. And if someone will get up and sing a ballad in Hebrew, then no one says anything. And they say there's nothing wrong. It's a Hebrew song. Even though the person could be singing about something that the Torah says warns us not to do, or the Torah tells us to distance ourselves from that. And the Rambam says this is utter foolishness. For, says the Rambam, speech is not permitted or forbidden. It is not positive or negative, depending on what language it is said in. Ela mechamat inyano, we judge it based upon the content. What's being said? She'im haya inyano to ashir devar na'ala, for if that song is being sung about something praiseworthy, chova lo'omro be'ezu sefa she'yeh, one should sing that song regardless of the language. V'im haya inyano migrat chova, and if the point of that song is to detract from something which is really positive, for example, songs that will mock positive things, or positive people. So then lachdal mimenu bezo shefa sheyeh. Then a person has to refrain from singing such songs, regardless of the language. Ela sheyesh bezel dati losif. But the only thing the Ram says, I would add, im ayu shnei piyutim sheyesh lehem inyan echad. If you have the option of singing one of two songs that have the same point, lo'orer et ha'tavtanut v'lehalela v'limshoch t'nefesh elea shezu migrat. If you have a song that's meant to arouse, as many, I don't know if most, I don't know enough about the songs that are being sung outside of the Jewish world, but many of the songs are there to really arouse a person and to cause a person to be attracted or to be thirsting for relations with the opposite gender. V'hu mechelek ha'dibur ha'muchak, and this is a form of speech which one should distance himself from that speech. For this arouses a person, and it urges a person to traits which are really faulty traits. As we've explained, says the Rambam. And you have two songs that are both negative. Both are going to urge a person to do something negative. And one is in Hebrew, and the other one is in Persian or Arabic. Says the Rambam. These people say, well, if it's in Hebrew, it's okay. It's the exact opposite, says the Rambam. It's worse to sing a love song or to sing a song that's improper in Hebrew than in any other language. Because Hebrew is a holy tongue, and we have to sanctify the tongue. So if one is going to err, he's erring more by singing an improper song in Hebrew. For the language of Hebrew is the holy tongue, and it is unfitting to use that language in anything other than elevated things. Certainly, if we add to this the use of a pasuk in the Torah or from Shir HaShirim with regard to these things, that's considered something which is prohibited. We're not allowed to use the words of the Torah to make love songs and things like that. That's what the Gemara says. That the Torah wears sackcloth and comes before Hashem and says, your children have mocked me, they take me in their bars, and they use me for love songs. So we're not talking about singing Zmiras at a Shabbos table. We're talking about when a person just wants a song because he's partying. So if you want to gauge where a person's holding, look at what songs he sings. If a person is singing Tov Laodot Lashem, it's good to thank God. Ah, that's a nice song. What's he saying? It's good to thank God. The halacha says that at a Shabbos table, when we have a Yom Tov Suda, we're supposed to sing. We're supposed to sing praises to Hashem. But if the song revolves around something which is negative, which is something we're supposed to distance ourselves from, so then it's irrelevant what language it's in. Now, the Rambam has not discussed who the composer of the song is. The Rambam makes no mention of who the composer is. I think that if we take the Rambam at face value, then we look at what content the song has. We have to be careful because there are subliminal messages. There are messages that are given over, and the song comes from the heart, and the purer a person is, the more pure his song is going to be. But nowadays, even the Jewish songs, if you want to say there's holiness to a tune, which is discussed, so then many of the tunes that are being sung, I've had the fortune of going on a bus and hearing the source of them, that those tunes, Mordechai ben David sings tunes, I Come from the Land Down Under, I once heard, and all kinds of other rock songs, which today they've put Jewish words to, but the tune isn't the Jewish tune. The source of the tune isn't Jewish. Now, in truth, one should try to get used to a more gentle type of tune. But that's already working on one's traits. It's not a question of right or wrong. It's a question of better.
Let's say a nice song was written, say, by Hitler.
Right.
I mean, it's a nice song, but it was written by Hitler.
So you can't say that. I don't know of a source to say it's forbidden. I would wonder if that's, you know, things resonate. And they say that music is something that goes out of one's soul and goes into someone else's soul. And if that's what resonates with the person, I wouldn't be too comfortable with that. But you know what? I don't know. There were a lot of composers that were not good people, and a lot of people like their songs. And I don't want to go into names, because it's not only in the non-Jewish world, in the Jewish world as well. There were some pretty famous composers that a lot of people liked their songs, and they did actions that were very, very improper.
What about social issues, about very critical songs about society or political leader and what they're doing?
I don't know. I think that, again, you need someone, someone who could draw the line and say this yes, this no. But I think that in general, a person has to wonder if he's going to focus on the negative, on criticizing, where is that going to lead him? In general. Today it's a common thing that people spend their time knocking. This isn't good and that isn't good. We have a whole article on the bulletin board about happiness. And they stress over there that one of the reasons that society isn't happy is because we're busy looking for the faults. And even psychologists, up until recently, you'd come to a psychologist and the first thing they do is, what's wrong? Mm-hmm. Instead of, hey, what's right? Let's focus on the positive first. But again, I don't know of a source to say that's improper. The only thing I could hear is if someone would say that what's brought in halacha, that a shaliach tzibur isn't fit to represent the congregation, if he sings Shirei Agavim, and someone would want to say that that's any non-Jewish song. But I don't know. I would think you could say that's a song that's sung for the sake of idol worship, a song that's sung in practice of things that are improper. But again, that would have to be proven, and I don't know of enough sources to call the shot in that one. I don't know.
Say call the shot means?
Anything else?
On this?
What? The Rambam is at the end of his explanation of the first chapter of Pirkei Avos.
How do we maintain, if we're honest?
With regard to the songs, I want to go back just one second to add a few points. Everything we said was technical and dry. But now, if we analyze it practically, it's to one's advantage to try to elevate oneself when it comes to the songs one listens to. And we live in a world that bombards us with messages. And you can't walk two footsteps. You can't look almost anywhere other than within nature. Unless you leave the city, even in your own home, you could barely look around without being bombarded with messages. You open the fridge, everything you buy has advertisements. One side of the canister has this advertisement, the other side has that advertisement. You sit here in the classroom, you have stickers all around you. This one's advertising Machon Meir, the next one's advertising the soldiers that we have to daven for, which is all important. But wherever you look, there's going to be advertisement. We're being bombarded, and to an extent, this dulls our senses. This is true with regard to modesty. You can't walk down the street without seeing 10-15 immodest pictures. That you walk 2-minute walk, you can't. It's impossible. I mean, maybe if you live in Mea Sharm, it's possible, and even then I don't think it's possible. Chazal told us that we're supposed to be sensitive, to what we see, and yet when we see things that Chazal said are supposed to bother us, it's very common that a person will say, that doesn't bother me. If Chazal would see what we see on an average day, they would faint. They would look at us like they wouldn't walk near us. I don't think a single sage would walk near a single one of us. They'd look at us as derelicts. They'd say we're filth, we're scum. How could we live in a world that behaves this way? I don't think there existed a sage that saw in their lifetime what the average child sees in a month, in a week, in maybe even in a day. And I'm not saying there weren't improper things in their time, but it wasn't as rampant as today. And this dulls our senses. By the same token, the music we listen to also gives over a certain message. Once upon a time, people would play music with the harp. People would play music with gentle instruments. And today, there's a stress of vulgarity which permeates the music as well. And the music we listen to also stresses certain tendencies. Once upon a time, I remember when I came to the United States as a kid. I was 4 years old when my parents moved to the United States. I remember seeing a person eat a sandwich. and asking my mother, what kind of animal is this? Looking at Americans taking a sandwich, opening their mouth as wide as possible, stuffing it in and taking a bite, and asking my mother, what's going on here? And my mother said, don't worry, it's an American mishigas. And for years, I wasn't able to eat a sandwich. I'd sit in class and see my classmates eating sandwiches and think they were goyim. Like I said, I never saw such a thing here in Israel. And this isn't so long ago. You know, we're not talking about centuries ago. I might be old, but not that old. But and today in Israel, you see people opening their mouths real big and eating. The world changed. You went to a restaurant once upon a time, they'd give you a small portion. Today, you come in, they give you a serving that's enough for a table, and people sit and they eat it. There's a dulling of the senses and a dulling of our sensitivities. And to an extent, this applies to music as well. So this isn't halachic, but if we're trying to become more sensitized and we're trying to develop a more sensitive soul and spirit, so one of the things we should also try to do is lower the volume and change the form of music that we're listening to. It's no wonder that they found correlations between listening to classical music and having better concentration. And I haven't yet heard of any research that goes the other way. It says that those who listen to this rock and roll are going to have less concentration. I don't know. But I do think that listening to more gentle music will develop something within a person. But that's my opinion. And when a person is making a change in his life, when a person is trying to become a more sensitive person, I think it's the person's benefit to think about the music he's listening to as well. So the first thing we discussed was the dry halacha. Well, what message is this song giving? But now I'm speaking more on a more internal level.
Did you see my favorite band on Facebook?
No. I must have seen, but I don't remember. I don't know, did he send me an invite? I don't remember.
No.
Okay, you don't have to, I don't care. But, no.
So what's so special about this Facebook thing?